If someone should ask me, what is the most profound truth in the Bible to you personally? Here's what I would say. The most profound truth that I have ever learned is this simple truth. Jesus Christ is my life. That is the most profound truth I personally have ever discovered in all the Word of God. And you know, the interesting thing is that many people who hear me say that wouldn't even have any earthly idea what I mean. Jesus Christ is my life. That is the most profound truth that I've ever heard and ever known and ever discovered and ever experienced in the whole Bible in all of my years of being a Christian. Facing the first biggest challenge in my life, my mother said to me one night before I left to go to face it, she said, I want to give you this verse of Scripture. And I read it, and I read it several times, and I walked up the street, which was one block away from my house, and I remember before I crossed the street, I stopped at the light pole there, and I just stopped there before I crossed the street, and I quoted this verse to myself. And somehow this passage of Scripture, God just locked into my heart. Because of all the passages in the Bible, it's the most encouraging to me when I face a challenge. Or any time I face something that I'm not sure exactly what to do or which way to turn, I always come back to this passage of Scripture because it is so clear. And I know that if I do exactly what it says, that even if I make a mistake, God's going to turn it out and make me a success in whatever I'm facing, no matter what happens, because that is the promise of this passage. You say, what in the world is that? It's not even in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. So I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, and I want us to read the first 9 verses of this chapter and give you a little background of what's going on. So while you're turning, listen carefully. God is about to remove Moses from the scene. And you'll recall that 40 years he lived in Pharaoh's palace. 40 years he's on the backside of the desert feeding sheep. And 40 years he's led Israel. And of course, out of Egyptian bondage, across the Red Sea, down to Sinai, through the wilderness, up to Promised Land. And yet they rebelled against him. And so for 40 or 30 some years, they wandered around in the wilderness. And now, chapter 1, verse 1, listen. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place, listen to this, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have already given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Listen to this. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you have given this people. You shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now think about, in the past year, how many times you faced challenges that may have caused you to feel weak, to feel fearful, and to feel discouraged. What was your response when you faced them? The temptation or the feelings that gripped you for the moment were feelings of weakness, inability, where do I turn? Feelings of fear, oh God, what may happen? Or feelings of discouragement. Lord, things are just not turning out right. What was your response? Well, think about this for a moment. Joshua had been with Moses through all these troublesome times. And now God has said to him, Joshua, I place on you the mantle of Moses, the most awesome servant of God. Moses, who is referred to all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, mighty servant of God, through whom God performed miracles, to whom God gave the awesome responsibility of bringing a group of people to birth as a new nation, God's chosen people. And now here's Joshua, who'd fought for him in battle, who'd been with him in one battle after the other. And now God is saying to him, Joshua, I have given you the responsibility, listen to this, of doing with the nation of Israel what Moses could not do. Now, can you imagine what Joshua must have felt? You see him as a mighty warrior. You see him as one of those spies who came back and said, listen, it doesn't make any difference how many walled cities and how many giants they have. If God has given us this land, let's take it. And now I want you to learn a very simple principle, because all of us who want to be strong and want to be courageous and want to be optimistic face those circumstances in our life, and we'll face them in the coming year, where we do feel weak and fearful and pessimistic or despondent or discouraged, or even some people will probably experience depression. Think about what Joshua was thinking when God told him that. Because, as you'll remember, he'd already been over in the Promised Land. He saw what was there. So when God said to him, Joshua, I want you to lead these people. Every place your foot treads, it's yours. I have already given this land to you. Now, that was very clear. It came straight from God. And you would think, well, listen, if God spoke that clear, everything ought to be settled. Let me ask you a question. Sometimes there have been times, and you know that God said very specifically to you what you were going to do and what you were to do and how you were to go about it. Did you say, well, no fear, no problem, just tell me how to do it, God? Or did you say, oh, God, are you sure you're not making a mistake? There have been times when I thought, God, I'm certainly not hearing this straight. And Joshua must have felt that. There must have been somebody else, God, that you could have placed this responsibility on. So what was he thinking? He had seen walled cities. He had seen the strong fortification of the enemy. He not only had heard about, he had seen the giants, great in stature, great in strength. But worse than that, the one thing that Joshua remembered was how many times the people whom he now was to be the leader had rebelled against Moses, and Moses was God's great prophet. And what did they do to him? They rebelled against him. They turned against him. And there were times when they wanted to stone him and Joshua and Caleb and anybody that surrounded them. And so where on the one hand, he may not have been afraid of walled cities and giants, but the thing that probably absolutely petrified him at times was thinking about, first of all, God, why are they going to follow me just because Moses is dead? And after all, there were times when they rebelled against him and they could see him and know, and they knew that he was your choice servant. And it's interesting in this passage of Scripture. Look at it. If you'll notice, he says in verse 5, the last part, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Now, beginning in verse 6 down to verse 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 verses, God says something to Joshua he keeps on repeating. Now listen to it. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. And then verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, have I not commanded you now, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, do not be dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, is with you wherever you go. Now, why do you suppose he said that three times? I mean, after all, once should be sufficient. That is, if God says it once, isn't that enough? No. Why do you suppose he said to him, be strong? Because God, listen carefully, God knew that this mighty warrior Joshua, whose very name is the Hebrew name from which Jesus' name came. Savior. Joshua, mighty warrior of God. The military general of the great statesman and prophet Moses. Why did he say to him three times, be strong? Here's the reason. While God understood that Joshua was very, very strong, there were some areas in which Joshua was weak. While he knew that here was a man who was willing to face giants and walled fortifications unlike anything Israel had ever confronted, he knew that there were situations and circumstances which he would become fearful. And when he said, don't get discouraged, don't be dismayed, because he knew that there were those situations and circumstances that could discourage him. My friend, God said to Joshua three times, be strong, because he knew there were areas of weakness. Be courageous, because there was something that could bring fear upon him. Don't get disappointed, because he knew there were areas in which he could find himself disappointed. Because we are who we are, sons and daughters of the living God, who has made to us the same promise that he made Joshua. Listen to this. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. That promise belongs to every single child of God. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not fail you. Everybody around you may forsake you, fail you, leave you, but not God. You and I need to accept the same challenge that God gave to Joshua. Whatever we face, we're to be strong. Whatever we face, we're to be courageous. And whatever we face, we're to be optimistic and confident. Why? One simple reason. I will be with you wherever you go. Isn't it strange how you and I can face circumstances and difficulties in life and we think, oh God, what am I going to do? Well, the question is not what am I going to do, but God, what are you going to do? Because the truth is, I know and you know what we really ought to do when we face those challenges. Now you see, we don't like to feel weak, because you see, when you feel weak, you feel what? Out of control. When you feel weak and helpless, you feel out of control. But the Holy Spirit demonstrates his most awesome power when you and I feel the weakest. When we feel the most dependent upon God is when God demonstrates his most awesome supernatural power in our life. So the world says, you don't want to be weak. God says, you want to be weak. The world says, you don't want to be dependent upon anybody. God says, I want you dependent upon me. And here's what he says. Be strong, be courageous, that is fearless, bold. Don't get discouraged. Don't get despondent. Don't get in a place where you find yourself turning your back, wanting to hide away, wanting to slip away, and retreating from the work that God has called you to do, getting yourself in a state of depression. Now, you say, well, that's real easy to say that. But how am I going to stay out of that position? How am I going to continue to be strong in the Lord, courageous in the Lord, fearless in him, and confident and bold and optimistic? And there's so many times that I have come to this passage when I literally did not know what to do. And every single time, it's the same answer. And isn't it wonderful that God made it simple? We're the ones who make it complex. People say, oh, it's theological things. I don't want to deal with them. Well, listen, forget the theology part, though you really can't, because theology is just the study of God. And listen, when you know Jesus Christ and who he is, everything gets simple to a point. But now think about this. God has given Joshua, from all human perspective, an absolute impossible task, because he has about 2 million Jews. Many of them are sort of renegades. They wouldn't follow Moses. Why does he think they're going to follow him? God said, Joshua, remember this. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. He says, God is with you wherever you go. Now, that's good. I like to hear that. But how is it that I'm going to remain courageous, strong and optimistic and confident. Now, if I said, listen, get your pencil and paper, I'm going to give you 20 ways to stay strong, courageous, and optimistic and confident. Man, you'd get the paper out and you'd start writing. I'm going to give you one. And you know why many of you are going to trip up over it? You're going to hear what I'm about to say and you're going to forget it. Now, let me tell you why you're going to forget it. Because you're not going to believe what God says. You say, oh, listen, I believe everything in this book. Let's see if you do. What is the key to facing any and every challenge in life and being strong, courageous, and confident? Here it is. Beginning in verse 7, he said, now this is the way it happens, Joshua, don't forget this. Be strong and very courageous. Then he says, be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Listen to this. Don't listen to those on the right and don't listen to those on the left. Don't be detoured by what you see over here and distracted by what you see over here. Be careful to do exactly what I told Moses in the law, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He says, now be careful. Do exactly what I tell you to do. And not only that, he says, don't let this book depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. Listen, how? Day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success. Now listen, I've said this 1,000 times, and some of you don't believe it. I hope you'll be wise enough to believe this. Be wise enough to believe this. We can be strong, courageous, and confident. And we will have success because God promised it, if we're willing to do something very simple. You know what it is? It's trusting and obeying. But in order to do that, it requires something. Notice what he says. Twice he says this. You see, whenever God says something two or three times in a short, brief period, God knows that you and I need to hear it once or twice or two or three times because he knows our tendency is going to be to overlook it. Now, three times he said, be strong and courageous. Twice he says here, be careful, be cautious, watch out, be alert. To do what? To do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And then he says, be careful to do according to all that is written in it. He says, and if you want to have success in whatever you do, he says, listen carefully. You want to be strong and courageous, fearless, bold, confident, and you want God to make you a success in whatever you're doing, he says, be careful. Watch out. Be careful about the voices to the right, the voices to the left. Watch out those distractions to the right. Watch out being distracted from what I've told you to do. Be very careful to do what? Stay in the Word, getting your direction. Be careful to stay in the Word, getting your direction, and be careful to do what I tell you to do. Now listen, Dad. Every daddy ought to teach his children that passage of Scripture. If you don't teach them anything else, say, son, do you want to succeed in life? And listen, you can read all kinds of books on success, and I've read lots of them. Paperback, hardback, you name it. But I want to tell you something. Nobody can beat this simple principle of succeeding. You don't even have to go out and buy a book. You've got the book. You have the book. And you see, what he did, he said, now, you are to do, he says, you be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. That is, now, Moses told him, here's what God told me to tell you. Now, you do exactly what God tells you to do. So he knew what to do. But there were lots of challenges. Walled cities, giants, rebellious people. And he made some mistakes. Joshua made some mistakes. For example, at Ai. You know, he said, well, here's what we'll do. And they made a decision what they would do. And they have victory one day and defeat the next. Why? Because he didn't do exactly what God told him. Now listen carefully. The times when you and I get in the Word of God and God gives us a passage of Scripture and we think, it's got my name on it. When it has your name on it, you better do exactly what it says. Now listen, this book was not written to you and me. Now be careful what you hear me say. Was not written to us, it was written to the people to whom, those who lived in these days. But it was written for you and me just as much as it was written for them. And all the principles of Scripture that were written and given to them are also given to us. You and I are not Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and all the rest. No, we Israelites. We didn't live 4,000 years ago. We live today. And every principle in this book given to them is given to you and me. And every promise that has to do with daily living in this life also applies to us. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not depart from you. Be strong, be courageous, be bold, be fearless, be confident. And this is the way you remain in that way. You see, it's no challenge to me or to you to remain bold and courageous if everything's going my way. And the only way you and I will ever discover who Jesus Christ really is to the maximum of our potential as long as we live in this life is to face one life-stretching, faith-stretching challenge after the other. It is then that I discover who God is. It is then that I discover that, yes, He'll do exactly what He says. He will make you strong, and He will make you courageous, and He will make you confident when everybody around you may be fearful, everybody around you becomes discouraged, and everybody around you says, we just can't, we don't feel the ability or the capacity to do it. He says, you be courageous, strong, and confident. Now listen, not confident in yourself, but confident in the God who made this promise, I will be with you. And listen, if you and I know and believe with all of our heart that He's with us side by side, living on the inside of us, tell me this. Why should I feel weak when I am walking in His mighty power? Why should I feel fearful when the omnipotent God is living on the inside of me? And why should I get discouraged if I am doing what God says do? God will make it work somehow in some fashion. He says, now remember this though, be careful. You don't remain strong by simply saying, I am strong, I am strong, I am strong. This mind over matter business and all these positive confessions and prosperity bit. Listen, the key is my focus. If my focus is my strength and my courage, my boldness and my confidence, self-confidence, that's not it. The believer's focus is to be one central thing, Christ. Christ must be the object of my obsession. He must be an obsession to me. He must be the object of my goals, my dreams, my everything. Christ, 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 Christ only. Anytime it becomes anything else, then we're going to suffer defeat one way or the other, because what God's motive is to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. There is no way to fail obeying God. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that? I want to challenge you tomorrow to meditate on this passage. Listen, if I were a student, let me tell you what I do. Whenever God lays some passage on my heart or some saying that really helps me and blesses me, I put it on the computer in big, bold letters so I can see it across my desk, and I hang it on the bookshelves. And I've covered up a lot of books with signs, things that I read daily that remind me of something. A friend called me today. In the course of the conversation, I was just sitting there listening and looking at all these things I have plastered on the bookshelves. And I said, listen to this. And I quoted him a little quote that has to do with breaking under the burdens of life. He said, wait a minute. So he got a pencil and wrote it down. He says, that is exactly what I needed to hear. I just needed a word of encouragement. Listen, you know what this book is? Let me give you what this book is in one sentence. This book is the story of God's redeeming love, period. You can put all the theology in this book under that one sentence. The Bible is the story of God's redeeming love. Now, what it does is not only redeem us, but there are so many wonderful facets of truth in this book that no matter what you and I face, we will find a word of encouragement. This book is God's encouragement letter to you and to me, God's story of His redeeming love. Now, the reason He said we are to meditate on this book day and night. Now, I want you to think about something. Whether you're a homemaker, you're a businessman, makes no difference, a student. Listen, if I were a student, let me get back to what I was saying. I'd take verse 9, I'd put that in bold letters, and I'd put that on my desk or on the wall where I have to see it every day. Every day. Somebody blessed me by taking that passage of Scripture and burning it in wood. And they gave it to me. I must have heard a sermon or something. And so, as soon as I got it, I took it home and put it over my study door. So that every time I walk out of that door, I have to walk under this promise. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let me tell you why you'll doubt it. Because you won't do what He said. He says we're to meditate. You know what meditate means? It means to read it and to think about it and to sort of osmose it. That is, just sort of get it on the inside of you. Until you're thinking that way. Until you can quote it. And you believe it. And it becomes a part of your thinking. And when something comes up in the day, what happens? The first thing that comes up is that verse. Now listen. May God send you enough trouble that you have to turn to this passage. Amen? That you have to turn to this passage. God, what was that passage? Tell me what it is. Joshua 1:9. Let's say it together. Joshua 1:9. Say it again. Joshua 1:9. What is it?
Joshua 1:9.
You got it. You got it. And you see, He says, don't turn from it to the left or the right. Now, you know how we'd interpret that today? How many of you get lots of magazines at your house? Just all kind of junky stuff. Well, some of you do. I believe I could load a wheelbarrow at least every week with stuff. Most of it just flips right on by. Think about this. Do you realize that, listen, about one column in the newspaper, maybe a column and a half, and you've read the whole book of Colossians. Let me ask you a question. What will do you more good? One column of oftentimes reading material of the book of Colossians. You realize you could read the whole New Testament in a short period of time that you take to read the newspaper? He said, don't let anything distract you from meditating on the Word of God. And if I could say one thing, and oftentimes pastors, young pastors will say to me, if you could say one thing to me, Dr. Stanley, what would you say? Boy, they expect some big theological deal. Here's what I tell them. The most important thing in your life is getting on your knees every day and reading the Word of God and talking to God. That is the most important function in anybody and everybody's life. Because when that is a part of your daily life, everything else somehow works out. Doesn't mean you're going to eliminate all your problems and heartaches and burdens. But it means you and I can remain strong and courageous. You say, but now wait a minute. What about those times of absolute total wipeout weakness that we go through? Sure, we're going to have those. And what does that do? It drives us right back to the Word to remember what He says. And what happens? We are up and moving and going. Why? For the simple reason that God does exactly what He promises to do. You say, well, how long does it take you to get strong when you're weak? Now, that's a good question. How long does it take you to be strong when you feel weak? I can tell you about how long it takes me. 99.9% of the time, when I get up off my knees, I get up in the strength of God. I cannot explain that. I cannot explain it. I just know that the God who wrote this Bible is true to every word in it. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. When you begin to realize who he is, the greater your trust level. And the greater your trust level, what? The greater your obedience level. And the greater your obedience level, the more, listen, the more God will trust you with more of his service in his kingdom. So if I could say one thing, I'd simply say this. Be strong, be courageous, be confident. Meditate upon the Word of God every day. Don't be distracted by newspapers, magazines, and television. I'm not saying you shouldn't read those. Don't let those things distract you from this. Be careful, be alert, be sensitive to be sure that this is a part of your daily diet every single day. And then do what God says do. And here's his promise. Then you will have success, so that you may have success wherever you go, for God is with you wherever you go. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, great servant of the Father, Son of God, Son of Man, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, our King, our Judge, our intimate friend, we love you and praise you and worship you and adore you. And thank you for your precious truth, so simple, so plain. God, would you grant every person here the wisdom, and God, etch in each mind Joshua 1:9. But Lord, add to those verses 7 and 8. Because if 9's going to work, 7 and 8 must be a part of it. I pray the Holy Spirit will give to every dad wisdom to take the time to explain these verses and to encourage their children, to learn them, to meditate upon them, to meditate upon them with their children, husbands and wives meditating upon them together, people, Father, who are going through difficulty in their finances or relationships or whatever it may be, meditating upon them together, claiming the truth, being obedient to you, searching your precious word, asking for direction, and being strong and courageous and confident that you're going to bring them through whatever they're facing. We love you and worship you and adore you for who you are. And thank you that one thing we'll never have to worry about, that you ever forget us, that you'll ever leave us, or that you won't prove faithful. Bless your holy name. And fathers, I think in my own heart tonight, how many times in all these years you've proven to be faithful to that single verse of Scripture in my own heart. And Lord, you know why I want everybody else to learn it. Why I want it to be a part of their thinking and their living and their challenges, so that they will discover you're every bit the God you say you are. We love you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.